This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue today to look at the teaching from the Acts of the Apostles. The Church gives us in the first reading each day at Mass this great season. I love this time from Easter to Pentecost in the calendar year of the Church because the readings are so rich. And what we see is the unfolding of the life of the Christian community, how Jesus, the Lord himself, is forming and shaping the people of God and what he wants the kingdom to look like. That's really what the Church is. The Church is the sign of the kingdom of God. The kingdom extends beyond the Church, but the Church really is a living sign of that kingdom which Jesus Christ, the King of glory, is establishing for all eternity. The reign of the kingdom of God, the place where human beings created in God's image and likeness can be united to God and to live with God forever. That's Jesus' call. That's Jesus' work in the world. I remember some of these wonderful passages from the book of Revelation. I've been thinking in the back of my mind as we read through the Acts of the Apostles. For example, chapter 11, verse 15 and following, the declaration of who Jesus is in his lordship and his glory. It said, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Give thanks to thee, Lord God Almighty, who art and who was, and that thou hast taken your great power and have begun to reign.'" The declaration, the proclamation, the worship of the angels and the saints of heaven is the wonder and the awe and the celebration and the joy, the great reverence and worship of God, acknowledging what God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's taken his great power and he's broken the resistance to the kingdom of God forever. The resistance of the devil, the world, the flesh, it's all been broken. Jesus Christ, the Lord, has destroyed its power. As St. Paul said, he made a public show of it on the cross, destroying the hold that the enemy had on the world. Now the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ have come. And that's what really we're seeing in the unfolding of the early church as the pattern of life that corresponds to the person of Jesus and reflects his character, his life, and his mission, and the mind of Jesus and the heart of Jesus is enfleshed in the apostles in the life of the early church. And so the story we looked at yesterday was the healing of the crippled man at the gate Beautiful. Peter said, the crippled man asked Peter for money. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And so he healed the man. They were teaching the synagogue, the temple. The religious leaders, it says, were getting annoyed at the apostles because the apostles were teaching in the temple and they were proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the religious leaders were threatened. They were angry, saying, "By what authority do you have to teach? Who do you think you are?" And then, who healed this man? And by what power was he healed? And so Peter used the opportunity to proclaim the beautiful message, the kerygma. I mean, Jesus Christ raised him and healed him. It's that same one, Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you killed and God raised from the dead, that has brought healing to this man. And that's what we declare to you. And he goes on to say, "By no other name in heaven and on earth can anyone be saved but by the name of Jesus. He's the only Savior of the world." So the religious leaders got together. And they're saying, "Okay, what do we do about these guys? They've got a following at the moment. We can't just simply punish them. The people will likely resist us and turn against us. So what are we going to do?" So they decided what they'd do is to warn the apostles. to tell them they can no longer speak about Jesus. They can't speak about the name. Remember, Jesus is a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. They're stumbling on him at this moment here in the story. Don't speak his name. The name of Jesus is disrupting the status quo. So they charge them. This is chapter 4, verse 18. So they charge them not to speak and teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. We cannot help but speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. That's evangelization. That's proclamation. That's the mission of the church. And that ought to be the heart of each and every one of us. I ended yesterday's program by saying the same anointing and calling and bold proclamation that the apostles were making is the exact same call that we have. Now, I don't have the same call Peter has. I'm not called to be Pope. But I do share, by virtue of baptism, in the fundamental call and commissioning, the great commission that we've all been given. And that's what Peter's doing here. Peter's saying, we have been commanded by the Lord to tell the truth about who he is for the sake of the salvation of the world. We simply can't stop. We can't stop. The fire of the Spirit was burning in them. They were under the authority of the Lord. I mean, the very prayer the Lord teaches all of us to pray and personally taught the apostles, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus said, do you want to know how to pray? Pray that every day. Pray it all the time. Let your heart and your concern as a disciple be for the coming of the kingdom and for the fulfillment of the will of God. Don't worry about yourself. Don't let your prayer be primarily worrying before the Lord and being anxious about your own life. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious about your life. Set your mind on things above. You have the mind of Christ now. What is the mind of Christ? Bring the reign of the kingdom of God on earth. The way of the Father, the will of God. And the will of God is that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Let that be your passion. Let that be the thing that moves you on a daily basis. That's what the apostles are moved by. That's what the early church was passionate about. They weren't mainly preoccupied with celebrating their own good experience of walking with the Lord. That was part of it. But they wanted that life to flow from them. And so the apostles were threatened. Later, they're going to be beaten and flogged for not obeying the religious leaders. But Monday's reading went on where they gathered together, and Peter, it says, after their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported what the chief priests and elders had told them. And when they had heard it, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, you said by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said this, why did the nations rage and the peoples entertain folly? The kings of the earth took their stand against the princes gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So the princes of this world, the powers of this world, Peter is saying, remembering the words from the Psalms, the powers of this world will gather against the Lord and against his anointed. It's a fallen world. We're in a battle, and the apostles knew it. There's resistance to the kingdom. Jesus has established in his kingdom, in his church, a beachhead, a resistance movement here on earth to save as many people out of this kingdom of the world that's going down. And anyone who's attached to the kingdom of the world, clinging to the kingdom of the world, is going to go down with the kingdom because Jesus Christ has destroyed its power and he's reigning at the right hand of the Father. D-Day is already happening, has already happened. The fundamental battle has been won. V-Day, the victory day, is yet to come. When Jesus returns again in glory, he's going to wrap it all up. The devil will be destroyed forever. And Jesus is going to bring about the full reign and authority of the Father. And they go on. Indeed, they gathered in the city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do what your hand and your will had long ago planned to take place. That's the passion, death, resurrection of Jesus. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness as you stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done to the name of your holy servant Jesus. As they prayed, the place where they were gathered shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So we get a real glimpse into the mind and the heart of the early Christian community gathered around the apostles. What they saw living in this new messianic community under the rule and reign of the Messiah was the fulfillment of the prophetic words of the Old Testament, of the people of Israel. Anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. They're saying, the very things you said are happening now. The rulers of this world are taking a stand against the reign of the King, against Jesus. They're resisting it. They're trying to shut it down right here at the beginning. They don't want his command. They don't want his rule. They don't want his authority. They want to keep their own authority and run things the way they want to run them. So Peter's not surprised. He said, notice, Lord, their threats. And our cry to you, Lord, is not to help us escape the threats or simply to protect us from the threats or that make sure that we aren't harmed. What do they pray for? Enable us to speak more. They just come from the leaders who said, don't say his name ever again in public. Don't teach in his name. They pray for more power and more anointing to be able to do the very thing they were told not to do, which is to proclaim the name of Jesus, to tell the world about the resurrection of our Lord and the coming of the kingdom of God. They said, give us boldness. They ask for it twice here. Boldness. Do you ever pray for that? For boldness to declare the truth about Jesus and his love? That's what the apostles prayed for in the early Christian community. And they said, stretch forth your hand with signs and wonders. We need signs and wonders in our day. We need the outpouring of signs and wonders to confirm the preaching of the gospel. Maybe if we preached it more, we would see more signs and wonders. And what happened? The place where they were gathered shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's another infilling, another grace of the Holy Spirit. And this is when the Holy Spirit's poured out, friends. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.